Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, everyone. This is Tamara Luna, and this is the Tree of Life Hour. The Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the pagan community, things we think the pagan community should know and be discussing. And tonight on the show, I have Dee with me from Soul Luna Productions. Say hi, Dee.
Hello, everybody.
So if you listen to our show, you know she's been on in the past, and we always enjoy having her. And Raven Fire is not on tonight. She is at work, so hopefully she will be back with us next week. It looks like it's about every other week she gets to join me back on the air. So, but tonight's show is kind of a Chasing Squirrels episode, but I kind of want to focus on this whole net neutrality thing. Because it could impact a lot of aspects of our life, including paganism. So, Dee, have you been reading up on it?
Oh, yes. And I have some recommended links and some information for people later on for if they want to do further reading about the subject. But also, I work in the IT world, so I can speak a little bit technically about net neutrality and what it means on a technical level as well as what it means on a sociological level. So I'm ready to go.
Okay. So in general, what I've read in, I guess, in layman terms is that what net neutrality is the regulation that says that your internet provider cannot charge you more to go faster, or cannot charge other companies more to prioritize their...
So we have the ISPs, or internet service providers, like Verizon, Comcast, Xfinity, whoever you pay so that you have internet at home. And net neutrality ensures that they give you free access to everything on the internet at the same speed. So not only can a company not pay them to serve up their information faster or with at a higher bandwidth, but also they can't just pick and choose what you have access, which prior to about 2 years ago when net neutrality was put into place, that was a problem. There was actual ISPs censoring content or limiting access to content based on their political or, other leanings. So it's a combination of those two things, but it eliminates both of those things so that an ISP or internet service provider cannot... Everything has to happen at the same speed, and they have to provide access to everything that's available out on the internet.
Okay, so what this means is if you use Netflix, if you use Hulu, stuff like that, that the internet service providers can charge them extra to make their speed faster so that when you go out there, you don't really notice a difference from today. But if Netflix or Hulu doesn't pay them more to prioritize their service, then you could go out there and you could have awful lag. Or they could be blocked altogether because, they may decide that, we use TWC Spectrum, whatever, here, decide that Netflix and Hulu is actually in competition with their streaming on-demand service, they could block them all together.
Exactly.
And
yep.
You won't have access. So, and from what I read, this can hit like small businesses and home businesses hard. Those pagan shops that you order from, you may not have access to them, or their page may take forever to load.
Correct. And it hits small businesses, like pagan organizations and pagan stores in that way, because they're small and they won't have the clout or the money to pay for premiums for faster access. But it also just hits any minority community, so any minority religion or any minority race or anyone who's underrepresented in the news, because without net neutrality, they don't have equal access to, get their stories out there. It hits grassroots activists really hard, because if your access to the internet is slowed down or limited in some way, then you can't do a call to arms and get people out on the street quickly to protest something, for example. It really strikes on multiple levels in any community that's not part of the mainstream.
And I know that the whole thought, okay, let's go over, what's the whole thought of them ending the net neutrality is that they will be able to self-regulate themselves, that there's enough competition that they'll be able to self-regulate, that they won't do it because there's too many ISP providers out there. But in my area, if you, like for my work, I have to have cable internet. There's only one cable internet provider.
Right, and the majority of the United States outside of large cities don't have a whole lot of options. They may have one cable provider. They may have a satellite provider. Satellite is not an optimal provider in a lot of places because of weather conditions and stuff like that make it that hard to use. So it's rare that someone has a lot of choices on who their internet provider can be. And so that's kind of like a false assurance that, oh, no, consumers can go to the provider that, provides what they need. Also, with lack of regulation, you may not know, signing up for a provider, what kind of limitations they put on their data, what kind of data they serve as a priority versus what kind of data they suppress. And you may not ever know if that's your only access to the internet.
Right. There actually has been a graphic that has been going around the internet since 2009, before the net neutrality went into effect, where it's got like $29.95 includes, and of course this is a little outdated with some of what it says. It includes 500 meg of free transfers. But then it goes on to say, plus five to get access to Google, Yahoo, Flickr, WordPress, Blogger, Ask, all that, Wikipedia. Five more for international sites like BBC. Five more for all the media sites. 10 more for Hulu and Netflix to get access to that. It's crazy.
It's crazy, and it's kind of, if you've ever worked for a company, for example, that provides internet access for you to do your job, there's an elaborate filter that you have to get through. There's a firewall and a filter that you have to get through in order to hit the actual internet. And that filter prevents you from accessing various types of websites. And that filter can prevent you from accessing content unless you know how to circumvent the filter or the filter's been opened up for you for specific topics. And so that would be like having a massive filter like that between you and the true internet, no matter where you were accessing the internet from. You kind of expect that filtering at work. But in your private life, too, you wouldn't be able to access chosen content if your internet service provider felt as though you shouldn't be able to. So to give an example of that, in August of 2007, Pearl Jam was performing at Lollapalooza, and soon after they ended their performance, they started getting word from their fans that part of one of the songs that they had performed had been cut out of the stream. There was a live stream of their performance. Well, words of a song that were critical to George Bush had just been cut out by this AT&T because AT&T didn't want to broadcast Pearl Jam's criticism of George Bush. And this was prior to net neutrality. And so that content was just filtered out. It was like it didn't happen for people who were watching the live stream. So again, you know, unless you, and if that's your only access to that concert, if you don't know somebody who's on the ground, physically at the concert, you may never know that they made a political statement at their concert because the song just cuts out. And so, you know, like you were talking about Hulu and Netflix, if an ISP gets paid by Netflix to serve data faster, you may still see Hulu. It's just Hulu is suddenly a pain to use because it lags and it interrupts and it freezes. And so you get driven to Netflix. You may never know that that financial transaction took place, but you're being steered towards one content provider or another based upon what information or what data has been given priority by your internet service provider.
So in some of the other examples that actually happened before net neutrality went into place, here's some examples. In 2005, North Carolina ISP Madison River Communications blocked the voice over internet protocol service, Vonage. Vonage filed a complaint with the FCC. Comcast in 2005 began secretly blocking peer-to-peer technology that its customers were using over its network. Users of services like BitTorrent and Nutella were unable to connect to these services. TELUS in 2005 in Canada, TELUS began blocking access to a server that hosted a website supporting a labor strike against the company. AT&T 2007 to 2009 forced Apple to block Skype and other competing VoIP phone, or I guess VoIP phone services on the iPhone. Windstream in 2010 copped to hijacking user search queries made using the Google toolbar within Firefox. Users who believed that they had set the browser to the search engine of their choice were redirected to Windstream's own search portal results. MetroPCS in 2011 had announced plans to block streaming video over its 4G network from all sources except YouTube. In 2011, PaxFire, several small ISPs were redirected search queries via the vendor PaxFire. AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon blocked Google Wallet, a mobile payment for similar services called ISIS, which all three companies had a stake in developing. Let's see, what else? In Europe in 2012, there was found violations of net neutrality affected at least 1 in 5 users in Europe. They report that found that they blocked or slowed connections to services like VoIP, peer-to-peer technology, gaming application, and email. Verizon blocked people from using tethering applications on their phones in 2012. AT&T had announced in 2012 that it was going to disable FaceTime video calling app on its customers' iPhones until they subscribed to a more expensive text and voice plan. And then, let's see, the last one that's on here is Verizon in 2013. Judges asked whether the phone giant would favor some preferred services, content, or sites over others if the court overruled the agency's existing open internet rules. And the counsel had to say, I'm authorized to state for my client today that for these rules, we would be exploring those types of arrangements. So this stuff has all happened in the past before net neutrality came in. And there's even more apps and websites out there.
It took a long, long time to get the FCC to adopt net neutrality. It took about a decade of, you know, activism and insistence. And current commissioner or chairman of the FCC is trying to dismantle it now. He's a former lawyer for Verizon, by the way. So he's not exactly impartial when it comes to net neutrality. So, yes, the current chairman of the FCC is a former Verizon lawyer. When net neutrality was adopted, you'll hear the phrase Title II bandied around a whole lot. And Title II gives the FCC the authority to ensure that companies can't block, throttle, or interfere with web traffic. So if you're for net neutrality, you're for internet service providers being managed or regulated under Title II. So that gives the FCC the strongest amount of regulation. And that's pretty much what they're working towards trying to dismantle today. I think the vote's December 14th to try to remove that Title II regulation and revoke net neutrality. So we're at kind of a crisis point, and it's a little bit exhausting because we've been at this crisis point before, and we accomplished something, and we protected the sanctity of freedom of expression on the internet in this country, and now we're right back at it again. And we are, and I'm sorry I'm going to go there, we're with a political leader, a president in power that likes to squelch dissent, and the internet is a huge tool for activism and resistance, and they're trying to dismantle that tool or make it less effective. So, you know, it applies to pagans in their, you know, identities as a minority group. Yeah, sure. And it hits us in those of us with small businesses. It could hit us in the pocketbooks. But on a broader scale, it can vastly and greatly limit the freedom that people in this country have to stand up and fight against what's currently going on in this country.
Because if they decide that they don't want you to go to a certain website to see what's going on, you know, as far as protests and different stuff, they can just block it now. It still may be, a year, they say, out before it went into
effect. Yeah, I'm not sure how long, if the vote on the 14th was successful, I'm not sure how long it would take to deregulate. If it would be an instantaneous thing or if it would take time. But I know, I would imagine that all the technology is in place to instantly start capitalizing on an unprotected internet.
Yeah, well, from what I read, it could be a year before it went to effect because apparently the two Democrats that are on the board that are going to probably be the only two to vote against it being revoked can file a grievance. So then they would do that, and then everyone else would have time to appeal the grievance. But then they said it can go as far as the Supreme Court before it goes into effect.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
The scary thing that they pointed out is by the time it got to the Supreme Court could look a lot different and probably is going to look a lot different than it does today.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
So, I mean, and just think about it. If those classes that if you're taking any pagan-type classes online or in any pagan chat groups, the internet provider you have, if you're in a specific, you know, Bible Belt area and the internet provider is very pro-Christian, they may just block those sites altogether.
Yeah. It would be very similar, too. I've been thinking of analogies all afternoon since I saw your post on Facebook about how to help people understand, because people don't think about every day how the internet works, and they're not used to thinking about technology. But where I went to college, there was a little tiny radio station, and the little tiny radio station worked fine. And that little tiny radio station owned a copy of the Rolling Stones song "Sympathy for the Devil." But if you called the little tiny radio station and asked them to play "Sympathy for the Devil," they would not, because the owner of the radio station thought it was a satanic song and refused to allow it to be played over the air. you know, when you get down to brass tacks, that's the type of freedom that would be offered to ISPs with the internet. They would just have broad sweeping capabilities to limit the people that are paying them for access, but limit their access to the content based on their whim. And,
yeah,
you know,
to
add
other, sorry, go on.
You know, to add fuel to the fire, there's been a lot of indication that a lot of the anti-net neutrality comments, when there was a call for comments, that a lot of those comments came from, guess who? Russian trolls. And so a lot of the support to remove net neutrality seems to not be coming from within this country. However, the investigation into that has been stymied, and the FCC has not agreed to cooperate with the Attorney General of New York's investigation of that allegation. So when the FCC called for comments and said, tell us, do you like net neutrality? And they got a lot of people going, no, net neutrality sucks. We want to get rid of net neutrality. Those people weren't real people. They were some of those troll farm accounts, the same ones that flooded Twitter for various topics and, you know, created havoc with our previous election. But when the Attorney General of New York, I think his name's Schneiderman, wanted to investigate that, the FCC declined to cooperate.
Yeah, and I think it's board members of the FCC have just come out and said, we don't care what the public says, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, it's a really kind of scary place to be, you know. You know, just more fuel to the fire of concern for freedom of speech in this country, and concern about where this country's headed.
Yeah, because and actually, apparently, in a congressional committee on the Comcast Time Warner merger, someone made the comment that 10 years ago, internet traffic was broadly distributed across thousands of companies. But by 2009, half of all internet traffic originated in less than 150 large content and content distribution companies. And today, half of the internet traffic comes from just 30 outfits, including Google, Facebook, and Netflix.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all. You know, and just pocketbook-wise, ISPs would love to be able to charge people more, kind of like that infographic you were talking about. ISPs would love to be able to charge you more for streaming stuff off Netflix and YouTube and Hulu and Amazon Prime or, you know, whatever, because it takes more bandwidth. It takes more resources to stream video than it does, say, for example, look at a page of text.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't charge us for those streaming services, are going to charge us, because Comcast or Time Warner or whoever it is going to charge those services for faster speeds. So we'll end up paying it regardless,
exactly,
whether it's through our internet provider or if it's through the streaming service.
Yep.
And that includes all the blogs and stuff. I mean, a lot of blogs would probably end up shutting down because if they pay a service to have their blog put out there and then they have to pay more for people to actually, for any decent, I guess, amount of people to come to the site and it not slow down to where they get frustrated and just go on, a lot of blogs aren't going to be able to pay that, especially if they're not, if it's just someone blogging for fun and not doing it to make money or anything, a lot of those blogs are probably going to end up shutting down.
Well, I mean, to bring it very, very close to home, Blog Talk Radio is streaming audio live right now. And that sucks bandwidth too.
Yeah, because they do have paid services. Like, I think the free one is, like, one night a week or something like that. Pagans Tonight does a show almost every night. So we do have one of the packages. So please, you know, if you ever have the chance, support us.
Donate, everybody.
Yeah. So we do, the only thing is that if that price was to go up, I don't think Pagans Tonight would be able to make it. I don't know if they'd be able to make it and be around as long as they have, and which would be pretty sad because they've been around for a while now. I mean, this Pretty Life Hour has been around for 5 years. Blog Talk Radio has been around longer than that. I mean, not Blog Talk. Well,
I didn't
Blog
realize
Radio
you've been around
Pagans
for
Tonight.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
We had our 5 years.
I didn't realize you've been around for 5 years.
Back in October, we had our 5 year episode.
Happy anniversary. I missed it. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to say that.
That's nuts, man.
I guess
that's something to be proud of, though.
I guess that means we can start revisiting some of our topics. I keep going back, and I'm like, we've done this show. When's the last time we did this subject? And I'll look back and be like, oh, that was a while back. Wait a minute. There's probably
on
that now.
3 years or more, you're probably safe to go back and address it again.
Yeah, I get paranoid.
So if anybody is interested, if you want to find out more about some of this net neutrality stuff, there is a website, savetheinternet.com. It's easy to remember, savetheinternet.com. And it gives you a very good overview of everything that you need to know about net neutrality in general. And it gives you a link up at the top called Take Action. And when you click that link, it gives you information about how to contact the FCC, how to talk to your congressman, you know, how to talk to the Justice Department about not criminalizing dissent. So, I mean, there's lots and lots of links on that site, and it's a great jumping off point for the net neutrality discussion to give you lots of information about it in one easy place. SaveTheInternet.com.
I think this is something you can let go. It's not something that's just going to be able to be let go. This is something that can end up affecting a lot of people.
And, of course, they also have a donate button prominently on their website. So while you're donating to the Tree of Life Hour, also donate to the Free Press Action Fund.
Well, it's not technically the Tree of Life Hour. It's Pagans Tonight Radio Network.
Oh, Pagans Tonight, which supports the Tree of Life Hour.
Yes. So it is time for us to take a break. So I'm going to pick a song, wherever it stops. Let's see. I don't know what this is. Here's Kiva or Kaiva. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And it's called Deep Winter Medley Red, even though it doesn't really feel like winter yet quite right now. It did there for a short bit, but not today. So here is, again, it's Kiva or Kaiva, K-I-V-A, and Deep Winter Medley Red, and we will be right back and discuss a few other issues that are going on, and so we will talk to you back in a minute.
Time of God.
Welcome back to the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagan Tonight Radio Network. And I have Dee from Soul Lunar Productions that has joined me tonight, and we were just discussing the net neutrality. Was there anything you wanted to add before we go on to other subjects?
Other than repeating that website, savetheinternet.com, for anybody listening who's interested in finding out more about net neutrality, that is it. I think I've talked myself silent on that one.
Okay. All right. And I did want to say real quick that I noticed in chat that there's a guest. And if you're a guest, you can't actually be in, I mean, you can't type in chat. You can see chat, but you can't really type in it. You can get a free Blog Talk Radio account and chat in the chat box with us. It is free. You don't need to subscribe to anything or anything like that. You can just join, and that way you can actually talk to us in chat if you like. Just want to throw that out there. So,
join us.
This next
join
thing,
us.
Yeah, join the revolution. So, this next thing hits kind of home for us. Kentucky Public Schools is allowing evangelicals to constantly harass non-Christian kids.
Oh.
This is coming out of Stanton, Kentucky. A mom named Heather Estes says her children are being bullied at school because they are not evangelical Christians like their classmates, and that adult school employees have joined in on the attack. So she's going
wow.
public after watching her kids suffer through 2 years of constant harassment. And on Tuesday, she shared her story with a private Facebook group for atheists, and in it, she explained that the vast majority of children at Stanton Elementary attended a daily Christian service before school called the Upper Room. Her children are perceived by their classmates as outsider as a result, and other kids have slammed tables into them and harassed them. So Estes said when her son spoke to a teacher about the issue, the teacher said that he had to stand in front of the classroom and explain his beliefs. You're going to have to stand up for yourself if you insist on being different, said the teacher. Historians agree that the Bible is the most historically accurate book of all time.
Oh, God.
Oof, that's coming from a teacher.
Sorry. Yep. Wow.
So they said her children are asked every time, do you believe in God? Why don't you go? He's been told by teachers things like atheists will be eaten by bears.
I mean, I laugh because it's ridiculous, but that's horrific for that mother and her children. That is insane.
Yes. I mean, I just can't get over the comment, though. Historians agree that the Bible is the most historically accurate book of all time.
No, Christians believe that. Historians do not believe that.
No, because to be historically accurate, there's got to be other sources that also verify what's written in it.
Yeah, to be historically accurate, well, anyway, I won't derail, because if I start, we'll spend the next 30 minutes talking about the history of the Bible. So I won't do that to you.
Okay. Yeah, maybe another show.
It's a favorite. Sorry. We'll stick to this. And one thing that I would like to say on this topic, it's tangentially related, but I think it's important, is that pagans, and I use that as a blanket term, we need to get our act together to help support and fight things like this. Because the Satanic Temple, who aren't Satanists, by the way, they're mostly atheists, are doing a fantastic job, and they're showing actual religious theistic pagans and theistic Satanists and everybody with an alternative religion, how you can get organized and strike back at situations like these and help people, except we're not organized enough to do it yet. And that's frustrating to me because I love the Satanic Temple. I'm a supporter of the Satanic Temple, but I'd love to see some wider actual theistic pagan organizations doing similar work to stand up for people who may not have necessarily their specific beliefs, but who are being bullied by people about their religious beliefs or affiliations. or lack thereof. That's my little rant on that.
Oh yeah. So it's just sad all the, and it's just gotten worse. I mean, you'd think it would get better in this day and age, but it has just gotten worse.
No, it is. It has. You know, I think we're at one of those cultural points, and in our society, in our culture today, fear is a big deal. Scarcity is a big deal. The threat of poverty is a big deal. Losing out to somebody else is a big deal. And when those things happen, you know, fear and the pressure of not having a social safety net and all those things come together in this horrific mix that results in people striking out against what scares them. And what scares people every time is what's different.
So, the next thing, the famous Masterpiece Cake Shop case is set to begin its hearing Tuesday in the Supreme Court of the United States. So, for those of you that don't know what it is, it has to do with the cake baker against the state of Colorado. The story was closely followed for several years, and it talks about, followed by media for several years, as it brings into question limits in the scope of religious freedom in the public sphere. So it was in 2012, David Mullins and Charlie Craig walked into Lakewood-based Masterpiece Cake Shop to order a cake for their wedding, because this happened to the prior to the 2015 Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex marriage. The couple was planning on marrying in Massachusetts, but celebrating with family and friends in their home state of Colorado. The owner refused to take their business because making the cake would violate his religious beliefs. He is a devout Christian who closes his shop on Sunday and believes marriage should only be between a man and a woman.
Wow.
So that's going before the Supreme Court. I've got mixed feelings about this particular type of issue, because it's a privately owned business, and there's a lot of privately owned business that are very religious oriented.
I can see that. I can see the, you know, you can see it from both sides.
Because it's like, why would you want to go there, and why would you want a person like that to bake your cake anyway?
Yeah, well, personally, yeah, I'd be like, okay, I don't want your damn cake. You know, and I'm sure that this was done as a test case, you know, in order to push a legal and political precedent, which I can be all for. But, you know, it's strange because, and I mean, I guess it's the beauty of how our government works, but, you know, the question of where to limit that religious freedom. So we all have religious freedom in theory, but where to limit it and where one person's freedom stops and another one starts. And that's what our judicial branch is meant to kind of sort out from the broader freedoms that we're given. You know, so I can see the case going forward, even if the couple doesn't want their cake there, you know, after their horrific experience. And I can see the right of the shop owner, believe it or not, to you know, I think it's horrible and I think it's small-minded, but I think he has a right to be horrible and small-minded if he wants to be. So, yeah, it is a tricky situation to consider, you know, but that, again, the purpose of our judicial branch is to draw the line and say, okay, this is where one individual's rights stop and another individual's rights start. You know, it's the old adage, like, you can swing your fist until it would come into contact with somebody's jaw, and then you've gone too far and you've hit the limits of your right to swing your fist. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the case and what it means, how it sets legal precedent for the future.
So, and actually, there was a judge that actually said, at first blush, it may seem reasonable that the private business should be able to refuse service to anyone it chooses. This view, however, fails to take into account the cost to society and the hurt caused to persons who are denied service simply because of who they are.
Yeah. Well, and again, so like where those lines are drawn. So, okay, my religion, I have a special religion. What if my religion, I own a cafe and my religion says that I can't serve, African-American people because it's my religion. So that's where that horrific loophole comes in, where that right can be abused and you start infringing on other people's social rights, you know? It's
right.
It's a, you know, and then you also have people who are just not sincere in their religious practices until they don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. And I'm not saying that that was the case for this particular shop owner, but, you know, you have to take that into account with the legal decisions too, like, you know, and then our government's not allowed to do a test of devoutness, right? It is a crazy legal question. Why don't we talk about something
right.
easy like gun control?
Let's see, what else is going on? Let's see. Oh, in Denver, the Mile High City played host to the first ever Conjure Gala October 28th. It was a one-day conference and sponsored and organized by Candelo Convisa and held at the historic Lombard Baron Inn. After the event, Convisa recalled, "What was at this gala that was not found anywhere else? There were real root workers teaching their craft and sharing their gifts." It included, speakers included co-medals, Professor Charles Porterfield, Michelle Jackson, Amberzine Laguerre, Elaine Bryant, Brother R.J. James, and a lot of other people. I'm not going to keep going. include classes, ritual, and dinner of the dead, and a gala with DJ entertainment. So that sounds interesting. New one to look forward to. They're looking for the next Mile High Conjure Gala set for 2018. And there will be another Conjure Gala held in New York in April. Watch the Wild Hunt. They said that they are going to post update it when they get more information.
I'm jealous.
So, it does. Tuatha Dea, one of our favorite bands, is getting a lot of play. They just released their video for Appalachia Burning, which I'm sure everyone on this channel has heard many times. And they're getting TV play and stuff.
Oh, wow. Congrats to them.
Yeah, congrats to them. Let's see what else is going on. What day is this? I'm trying to make sure I stay on stuff that's not already passed because I don't want to say, oh, do this, and then it's over. Sorry. Because I am on the Wild Hunt. And while you're in a donating mood, donate to Wild Hunt. They are
yes.
a pagan news source. And we use them for our Chasing Squirrels episodes. So please donate to them. They make our episodes a lot easier to tell you all on what's going on in the world. So, but it is getting close to that time. Oh, look, and they had an article. Also, if you want to see the editorial on the dangers and pitfalls of the proposed net neutrality rollback, Wild Hunt also did an editorial on it on November 26th, so you can look that up, too. And I guess it's about time to go ahead and start saying upcoming events. Steve, do you have anything going on with the Soul Lunar Productions? Oh, before you go on that, Wild Hunt has put out their yearly gift-giving guide for pagans. It is also out there. So check it out. Okay, sorry, go on.
No worries. So Sol Luna, we have like slowed down here at the end of the year. We're having a fallow period before we kick into action again. I will talk about the last event that we did, which was November 17th. And we participated in Magic Fest hosted by Infinity Magic down in Columbia, Tennessee. And just would like to publicly say kudos to them because it was run super well and it was crazy organized and all their staff were super friendly and it was so much fun. We presented a class on candle magic and Brent spent all day doing cartomancy readings and card readings. So we had a lot of fun at that event and it's probably our last big event of the year, however, and we'll be kicking back into gear after the first of the year and we'd spend some time with family over the holidays. But if anyone's interested, our Facebook page is Sol Luna. We're on Facebook as Sol Luna Productions and we also have a website, sol.luna.net. You can also find that webpage through our Facebook page. And if we decide to randomly do anything between now and the beginning of the next year, you'll be able to find it either on our Facebook page or on our webpage. We've been doing some online classes instead of in-person classes and having people Skype in or using Google Hangouts to do online classes. So that's what we're up to right now.
Okay. All right. So as far as stuff going on, and also if you have an event that you wish for us to announce on the air, you can send it to us at facebook.com/treeoflife, LOUKY, and just send us a message and let us know what your event is so that we can announce it on the air for you, because it is kind of the slow time of year for a lot of stuff. I do know that tomorrow, December 1st at 7 p.m., there is the Tarot Salon here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's at Heine Brothers Coffee on Gardner Lane in Louisville, where they will be talking about divination, and you'll be learning about the card for the month, it says. Also, we have, just to let everybody know, it's not specifically pagan, but this Saturday, December 2nd, is the semicolon tattoo event to help awareness for suicide. This all started a couple years ago because a local pagan and friend, Angie, committed suicide, and we started this event in her honor. In honor of everyone else that we've known that has committed suicide, to just kind of bring awareness. And we would like everyone to come out. It will be at Prophecy Inc. on Baxter Avenue in Louisville, Kentucky. It will be from noon to midnight. There will probably be a line, and part of that will be outside. So if you are coming, please be dressed appropriate for the weather. And as I believe, I'm volunteering, but I believe there's also going to be people there from various suicide awareness campaigns. So please stop by. Let's see. Full Moon Circle at Sticks and Stones here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's on Dundee Road, Saturday, 7 p.m. to 7:40 p.m. It seems like a short circle, but I got used to some long ones here for a while. Also, let's see what else is going on. For those of you that are interested in Krampus, there is a Louisville Krampus Celebration Family Holiday Art Bazaar going on December 5th at the Art Sanctuary here in Louisville, Kentucky. There is a Mind, Body, and Soul Festival, Soul Festival 3, with Fairy and Earth Festival, December 7th through the 10th, at Sertoma Youth Ranch in Brooksville, Florida. Look up Mind, Body, and Soul Festival. You'll be able to get more information. Tickets are $50 for an adult pass for all 4 days, $5 for the kids pass, and under 5 are free. That's not bad. There is a spiritual archaeology facilitator, Aquas. Oh my gosh, I'm so going to butcher this person's name. Sahul Janus Nesabau at Sticks and Stones, December 7th, here in Louisville, Kentucky. And that is, that actually sounds pretty interesting. It says participants will be assisted in a multi-layered journey into regions of the self. Elements include opening of the pineal gland or third eye, which, when activated, can lead one to higher realms of consciousness. Sounds pretty neat. There is a growing a medicinal tea garden. It looks like this one is in Athens, Georgia. I don't know much about it. It looks like the person that created it is called U-Garden, U-G-A-R-D-E-N. It is a public event on Facebook, so check that out. Mystical Fair in Lexington, Holiday Festival Toys for Tots Weekend. It's at Mystical Fair Lexington in Lexington, Kentucky. Found out more at mysticalfairlex.com. And that is December 9th through the 10th. It says Saturday 11 a.m. and Sunday 11 a.m. Let's see. There is, oh, the Pagan Alliance Kentuckiana has their December meetup, December 12th at the Denny's on Eastern Parkway in Louisville, Kentucky, and that is at 7 to 10 p.m. Yule 2017 Craft Fair will be at the Sevierville Civic Center in Sevierville, Tennessee, December 16th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Return of the Light Winter Solstice Celebration and Drum Circle at the Reiki Center, Center for Healing Arts in Columbus, Ohio. And that is the December 20th, 6 p.m. to 9:30. There's also Old Wild Magics of the Motherland. It's an online class that Byron Ballard is doing. That is Wednesday, December 20th, 7 to 10 p.m. Let's see, it is $100 and you can sign up at myvillagewitch.com. And that is, oh, I'll go ahead and go through the rest of December real quick. December 28th, Psychic and Medium Development Group here at the Louisville Spiritual Center here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's December 28th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And that's the last thing I have through the end of December right now. So like I said, if you have an event you want us to say on the air, please go to facebook.com/treeoflife, L-O-U-K-Y, and shoot us a message and let us know about your event. Facebook events are perfect because then I can put them on my Facebook calendar. So, do you know of any events that I missed that we didn't already discuss?
Man, you are thorough. I think you got every one that I've heard of so far. I haven't been paying super close attention to it because we've been taking a bit of a break, but it sounds like you've gotten all the ones near me.
All right, and I do know that there will be a, or I believe there will be a Heathen Moot here in Louisville in December. Not exactly positive, but I'm sure the guys will also mention it on the air. So when their show is after us, which I believe will be next week. So I guess that's it for the night. So everyone have a blessed evening, and we will talk to you next week. And I'm trying You're welcome. I'm trying to figure out where my I lost my board. I had too many windows open.
Well, I'll quickly say thanks so much for having me on tonight. It was a pleasure as always.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So, and my screen's blocked too. Sorry, I got two different computers going right now.
You have to stay online forever.
Yeah, everyone has to just listen to me talk to myself for a while. How about that? So, okay, it's going now. Let's see. How about, I'm going to play Project Wendigo, and She Walks Away. So everyone have a blessed evening. Talk to you next week.
Night.
first day of school. She's scared and lonely, feels like she's the only one wearing a star. She doesn't know anyone. She doesn't know the same game. She doesn't know the kids' names. So she stays alone. She walks away. Like a mother said to, she's found that it's best to avoid the fight. She walks away. Like a mother told her, don't let anyone hold her. She'll be alright. It's the first dance of the year. She don't know why she came here. She's the only one to blame here. Why did she even come? No one asks her to dance. She sits on the outside. She hopes to never see her cry. And when it is done, she walks away. Like her mother said to, she's found that it's best to avoid the fight. She walks away. Like her mother told her, don't let anyone hold her. She'll be alright. They say she's a freak. They call her a weirdo. Mama says, what do they know? She doesn't think much. She keeps to herself. The kids call her a loser. Summer couldn't come soon enough. Cause this school is done. She walks away. Like a mother said to, she's found that it's best to avoid the fight. She walks away. Like a mother told her, don't let anyone hold her. She'll be alright. Sees her on the bus. It's an hour each way. Tries to talk to her each day. The while away miles. He likes how she thinks. She never tells him her name. He'll be the clown for her, just to make her smile. She walks away. Like her mother said to, she's found that it's best to avoid the fight. She walks away. Like a mother told her, don't let anyone hold. She'll be all right if she just walks away.
Hi, this is Ravenfire Doll with the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives, and have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.